gone through to learn Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to be taught of Jesus and to sometimes even doubt who Jesus was in relation to his own faith, did he ever, even as he looked back, say, man, I really messed up there? But even later, after the fact, I sometimes wonder if even when Jesus was confronting Peter face to face, after he had gone through his crucifixion, after he had gone through his suffering, and he asked Peter the simple question if he loved him. And Peter said, of course I love you. Jesus said, no, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Let me ask you again, Peter. Do you really love me? The form of agape that he's talking about. Willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the love that you have for me as your Lord and Savior. And as that third affirmation was given to the love that he had for Jesus, Jesus then said, go feed my sheep. Three questions in relation to love to the three times that Peter denied Jesus for who he was and what he stood for. And I think of all the things that Jesus suffered, certainly as you think about how horrible the cross was, how bad the scourging was, and all of these things, when I think about Peter's denial and I think about the indignation of what Jesus went through, do you think perhaps Peter's denial was difficult for Jesus as well? We begin a new Bible study this coming Wednesday on looking at Jesus as the man in relation to who he was, compassionate, forgiving, merciful. Not looking at who he was as the Son of God. We understand how powerful he was and who he was as the Son of God, but we're going to be looking at in relation to who he was as a man, as we see in John 1 and verse 14, that he became flesh and he dwelt among us. So sometimes I ask myself these questions as I'm studying and I'm looking at these passages. When Jesus denied Peter, and even though Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him, perhaps did Jesus, looking at the side of his human side, say, well, I really hope he doesn't do that. But when Peter himself told Jesus that was never going to happen, we know that you never say never in relation to your Christian faith, right? You're never going to slip. You're never going to make a mistake. You're never going to fall. You're never going to do any of those things. And Peter himself affirmed the fact that, Lord, all of these other individuals are going to leave you. They're going to turn their back on you, but me, how proud Peter was and puffed up in his faith, said that's never going to be me. And then you think about what Peter does here in Mark chapter 14. You know, Peter denied Jesus, even though when you go back to the beginning of Mark chapter 1 around verse 16, as Jesus is walking along the shore and he sees Peter casting out his nets, he pulls in Simon Peter to be one of his disciples. Even though Peter was there at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, even when he was there when Jesus healed his own mother-in-law, even when Jesus was there when he saw all of the wonderful miracles that he was doing in relation to his own ministry, even after all of this and after Peter himself said, it's never going to be me who denies who you are, I will always stand by your side, Peter ran and tucked tail like everybody else. Because Jesus told him and told all of his other disciples that you're all going to leave me and you're all going to scatter abroad. Now think about that for just a moment. You've given your all for 3+ years of teaching these men who you are, loving these men, showing them what true compassion was, what it means to care for people, what it means to stoop down and get to their level, what it means to sit down with sinners when they're at their worst, what it means to give every ounce of your being that he was teaching them to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every ounce of their being was to be given to Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, that's me. I'm your man. And Peter was the one who before an audience said, I don't even know who this man is. Do you think perhaps sometimes that we can feel like Peter? That perhaps even in our lives and our faith and the way we conduct ourselves and by the way we go about day-to-day life that we too can do the same things without even realizing it sometimes? Sure. When you think about Peter's denial, one of the things I take comfort in is Peter was a man who learned from his mistakes. Because later when you look at some of his writings, I think he's writing as a man of wisdom and age, who's got some experience behind him as he writes, and he looks backward, looking introspectively at who he was, to say, don't make the same mistakes that I did. When he talks about the devil walking about like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, I sometimes wonder as he wrote those words, if he was thinking about the devil getting in his way when he denied Jesus Christ to his face. So when you think about Peter's denial, and we think about how bad that was, and I wonder if he ever forgave himself for what he did to Jesus, he certainly made up for it on the back end as a disciple of Jesus Christ in trying to convince and convert Christians and encourage them through what they were going through. As you look at 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter 1 and 2. But from Peter's denial of Jesus, I think there are some important lessons that we can glean. I think the first thing you notice about Peter was that he was betrayed by his pride. I think pride got in his way. When you look at Proverbs 16 and verse 18, the Bible tells us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, Peter was one who stood up to Jesus and said, "That's not going to be me." He was so proud of his faith and how great he was as a disciple, one who was standing with Jesus Christ, one who was told in Matthew chapter 16 that Peter, you're going to be the one I give the keys to the entrance requirements to heaven. You're going to be the one that stands up on the day of Pentecost and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell people what they've got to do to be a member of the Lord's church. And when you think about that in relation to what Peter was being asked by Jesus, everybody says all of these things that I am. Some say I'm Elijah, one of the prophets, but I want to know who you say that I am, Peter. Because I need to hear it out of your mouth, specifically that you know who I am and what I represent. Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so later, understanding what he said to Jesus Christ at that moment, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, he's recognizing him as the Messiah, later to say, I don't even know who this man is, cursing those who were telling them they knew who he was in relation to him being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do you think perhaps he thought back to that moment when Jesus asked him that question as well? Probably so. But I think his pride got in the way. I think we can be overconfident sometimes in our service to God. Again, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have seen and heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We've always got to be aware. We've always got to be on the lookout for the devices of the devil that we talked about a few weeks ago, that the devil is not our friend. He's willing to slip into the cracks of our lives and kind of get in the way, so to speak. And I think that's exactly, as Peter's writing this in 1 Peter chapter 5, do you think that's what he's thinking about as he's writing and penning those words? You better be careful. You better look out. Peter later commanded humility. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, he said that we are to be clothed with humility. Do you think if he's thought himself in that moment that he was too prideful to realize that he said, I'm not going to be the one that makes a mistake? That is to say, look how good and perfect I am. He became just like the Pharisees. When the Pharisees said, look, Lord, he can't even lift up his head to heaven when he's praying to you, and look how wonderful I am. In that moment, as Peter was puffed up in his pride when he said, Lord, I'm never going to be the one that leaves your side. Do you think Jesus was hurting internally, knowing that that's exactly what he was going to do? There's been many a person to say, I'm never going to slip. I'm never going to fall. That's never going to be me. Never say never. Because that's exactly what Peter did. Peter also says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 to humble ourselves before God. Do you think he thought about how prideful he was in relation to denying Christ, that he would never do those things? That he understood in that moment what it means to be humble in the sight of the Lord? Peter learned the hard way about the danger of pride, and I think we can learn from Peter's mistakes that we value the importance of humility. But I think that Peter was also besieged by laziness. He kept falling asleep, remember, in Mark chapter 14, back in verse 37. Jesus just needed a few moments with his Father. I just need some time. I need that moment to talk to my Father because I understand what I have to do. Peter, be watchful. Peter, pay attention for just a few moments, but then you look at Mark chapter 14 in verse 37. It said, "Then he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch for 1 hour?'" I can almost hear the frustration in Jesus' voice here. 1 hour. You couldn't even stay awake for 1 hour. That's all I'm asking you to do, is pay attention for one single hour. Because back in verse 34, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and look out for me. Watch." Now think about this for a moment. Jesus is expressing his feelings to you that he is slap worn out. He's sorrowful. He's beat down. He's tired. He knows what he's about to face. He knows what he's about to go through. And he's asking you, as one of his closest confidants in the world, to simply keep an eye out for him for a few moments while he goes and talks to the Father. And then Jesus comes back to find you sleeping on your watch. One of the things that you never did when I was in the Marine Corps, when you were on fire watch, the biggest no-no was to fall asleep on your post. That would get you court-martialed bigger than anything. Didn't matter what the reason was. They didn't care how tired you are. They didn't care what excuse you gave. If you fell asleep on your post, that's the worst thing you can do, because everybody else's lives were in your hand and you fell asleep and you let them down. You can't even watch for an hour, Peter. Do you think Jesus was let down at that moment? But notice what Jesus says in verse 38. "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but guess what, Peter? The flesh is weak." Peter, your intentions are really good. Peter was the best of intentions. Peter had the best laid plans in all of his early ministry. But his pride got in the way and his laziness got in the way. He said, "I understand your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak." Now think about that. You've been told to look out for your Savior, who's already told you what he's about to go through, to sit up and watch for an hour as he prays to the Father, and then Jesus comes back and finds you asleep and says, "You're a weak individual." Do you think in that moment perhaps Peter felt about that big? He kept falling asleep, and because of that, his laziness led to a lack of preparation. The same thing can happen to us. I think without that diligent preparation, we too can be unprepared. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, "Watchful," or to be watchful, in relation to what the world, because the world is out there to fool us. And Jesus was simply asking Peter to be watchful in that moment, but he was too lazy to be watchful. But later, Peter would enjoin the idea of what diligence was. And again, I think that was in relation to what he learned in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, when he said to be vigilant, to be diligent in how you're watching out, because the devil's out there walking around trying to trip you up and mess you up. So notice it says Peter is telling us to be watchful after Jesus told him he messed up in watching out for him. So again, the wisdom of age and time certainly helped Peter out to realize the mistakes that he made previously. Do we allow simple laziness to keep us from watching out for those things that might trip us up? And later even he said, "Enjoined in diligence is to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be found in peace without spot and without blemish," 2 Peter 3 and verse 14. So again, all of these things are adding up in relation to who Peter was and how he's growing as a person as he looks back on the past and how he made mistakes. What better way to grow than when you mess up with your own Lord and Savior? You know, sometimes we people want to paint this picture of Christianity as it's this life of perfection, and it's so difficult and it's so hard. And when you look at these simple men who made mistakes, just like we make mistakes, it helps us to better understand and relate to these individuals, doesn't it? Because we too have been charged with being watchful for the Lord's church, and perhaps we've fallen down on our duties and we haven't been aware or been prepared for those things. But again, I think he was besieged by laziness, but he was also beset by cowardice. You look at Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 54, and I think this says a lot about his character at that time. "But Peter followed him at a distance. Back in verse 53, it said, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself by the fire." Now, there's a picture of bravery if I've ever seen one, right? No. Said that he followed at a distance. He stayed back. Why? Because he didn't want to be associated with Christ. Brethren, how many of us do that in our day-to-day lives and work? How many of us shy away from bowing our heads in a public restaurant because we don't want people to look at us a little bit differently when we bless our food? Or speaking up when people ask us if we're Jesus followers or if we're Christians or if we go to church? You see, all of those things dictate who we are as God's children. They show whether or not we're cowards, and they also tell us whether or not we are followers of Christ at a distance or if we stand side by side with Him. Peter, in this moment, was a coward. My grandfather used to say there's nothing worse than a coward, a man who doesn't stand by his word. This was a man who didn't stand by his word because he said he would never leave Jesus. He said he would never deny Jesus. And this was a man who was a coward who followed at a distance because he didn't want to be associated with Christ. We might be guilty of trying to follow Jesus, but with cowardice. Maybe ashamed of being seen of carrying our Bible or being seen with other Christians. But later in 1 Peter 4:16, he exhorted himself by glorifying God, charging us not to be ashamed, but to glorify God. So again, he learned from his mistakes. He knew he had made a mistake. You know, that's the great thing about being a Christian is when we make a mistake, we can fix the mistake. But some people don't do that because they allow their pride and their laziness and their cowardice to get in the way. But when I think about Peter, he was certainly one who learned from his mistakes and was willing to correct his mistakes. But I think Peter was also besieged or beleaguered by worldliness. When you think about verse 54, it said that he warmed himself at the fire. Brethren, if you choose to warm yourself by the fire of the world, you're going to get burned. And that's exactly what happened to Peter here. As he was warming himself by the worldliness of this fire, keeping his distance from Christ because he didn't want to be associated with Christ by sitting with the servants and the high priest, ashamed to be seen with Christ, it was certainly easy to mingle with those of the world who enjoyed those comforts. And that's exactly what Peter did. That close contact with things can harm us and have an effect on us. Proverbs 6, verses 27 through 29 basically says, "Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared?" So if you associate with the world, eventually you're going to get burned by the world. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? When he was talking about giving her water, and she didn't really understand the spiritual concept that Jesus was trying to teach her. Remember what he said? She said, "Well, you don't even have anything to draw water up with." And he said, "The water that I'm talking about, you're never going to thirst again." You see, she was consumed with the water of the world because you're never going to fix your thirst, so to speak, if you continue to drink with the bucket that the world gives you. You're always going to want more, you're always going to desire more, and you're always going to be looking for more. Jesus said, "The water that I can give you will quench you for eternity." So when you think about Peter, how he's beleaguered by the worldliness, he was more consumed with what everybody else thought about him, and by him warming himself by the fire and disassociating himself with who Jesus was, the world got in the way of the cross. Because if you look at verse 55 and following, it said, "Now the chief priests and all of the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, and for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, and we heard him saying, 'I will destroy the temple he made with hands.'" All of these accusations are flying against him. And then you have these individuals in verse 66 where Peter denies Jesus after all of this is taking place, and he literally goes out and he weeps. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You are also with Jesus of Nazareth." If you were in the world, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even understand what's coming out of your mouth." And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those that stood by, "That's one of those disciples. He's one of those followers of Jesus." But he denied it again, and a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean, and even you talk like one of the Galileans. Your speech shows who you are." Would you be guilty of quoting Bible verses and talking like a Christian? Peter again. Then he began to curse and swear. Now, to the point of dodging and laying back and being deceitful in this moment and staying in the shadows is one thing. But now Peter stands up and he's so angry at the fact of what they're accusing him of doing that he curses and swears at them and says, "I don't know this man." Think about that for a moment. Have you ever done that? "I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man, and I don't know him whom you speak. I don't know this Jesus of Galilee at all. I don't even know who you're talking about." Your life dictates how on fire you are for the Lord. And sometimes, brethren, we allow our environment to tell us how much we love Jesus. Sometimes our environment and where we work, where we go, where we live, dictates on how we confess Christ to everybody around us. And brethren, it ought not to be so that our environment shows us how much we love Jesus. Whether it's at work, whether it's at the doctor's office, whether it's running, or whatever we're doing. Our environment should not dictate how much we love the Lord and how much we're willing to confess Him. But he denied in saying, "I don't even know nor understand what you're saying." And the servant girl saw him again and said, "This is one of them." But notice verse 71. Then he began to curse and swear, "I don't know this man who you speak." And the second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to the mind the words that Jesus said unto him, "And before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. "Lord, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to turn my back on you. Everybody else might do it, but Lord, this isn't going to be me. Peter, you're going to be one of the first ones to do it. No, Lord, that's not going to be me. I promise you that's not going to be me." And then he thought about it. And I wonder, in that moment, as he thought about it, later as he's standing perhaps at a distance again, watching Jesus being beaten and falsely accused and later crucified, if he continued to think about it. If he continued to think about what he said he would never do and Jesus knew exactly what he would do. When Peter concluded his second epistle, he did so with a warning. He said to beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Do you think that was from his own shortcomings? Obviously, by the guiding of the Holy Spirit as he wrote these things for inspiration, do you think God perhaps was teaching him a lesson as he's penning these words, as he said, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so you don't make the same mistakes that I did? I think we can learn a lot from Peter. These admonitions come from one who was well qualified to speak on pride and laziness and worldliness. One who learned from his past, and as he wrote that we're to be humble and diligent and glorifying God and that we're to live as strangers in a world that's not going to be here forever. You see, when I think about Peter, the not so politically correct preacher, the one who made mistakes, the one who had shortcomings, the one who fell time and time again, the one who was even rebuked by one of his own brethren, Paul, when he was being a hypocrite, the one thing I learn about Peter the most is that I'm just like him. And I think we're all like Peter in a way. But Peter says, you don't have to be like me. Peter said, you can learn from my mistakes. So much so that Jesus put trust in the type of man that he was because he became humble, because he became a true follower of Christ, because he learned what type of person that he was. Jesus said, Peter, you're the man that's going to stand up before the masses and tell them how to be members of my church. Brethren, if that doesn't tell you about the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he offers us, I don't know what will. Think about the mistake that Peter made. Of everything else that he did, he flat out denied Jesus as who he was. And Jesus, in all of that, said, I'll still forgive you, Peter. Now go out and teach him who I am. Jesus is the greatest story ever told about the greatest man who ever lived, about the greatest offer ever given. And Peter said, I'm willing to tell that story and teach you about how I made a mistake. Peter was a gospel preacher with shortcomings, certainly. And he wasn't afraid of his past. I think sometimes we're afraid of our past. We're afraid of the skeletons in our closet. We don't want people to know who we were before we came to Christ. But guess what? Once you come to Christ, your past no longer matters. Jesus said, I'm willing to forget all of those things, just as he stood to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Peter could have certainly stood there before Christ, and Christ could have blessed him up and down one side or the other and told him what kind of person he was and told him how bad he was and all the things he did to him. But he said, Peter, I think you've learned from this lesson. But as he's standing there, do you think Peter was thinking in that moment of the times that he had denied Christ when he's asking if he truly loved Jesus? Peter, do you love me? He could have said, because if you really loved me, you wouldn't have turned your back on me when everybody else was railing against me and beating me. If you really loved me, you would have stood up for me when people asked you if you were one of my followers. If you really loved me, Peter, you would have been standing by my side and gone through everything that I did. But that's not what Jesus did. Peter said, or Jesus said, in this moment, Peter, do you really love me? So tonight I'm asking you, do you really love Jesus? Your past doesn't matter if you're willing to bring your past to him tonight. Because he's going to simply ask you the same question that he asked Peter. Do you love me? Are you willing to follow me? Do you confess me as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, and if you're willing to follow the commandments and cast off the life that you used to live, and repenting of your sins, standing up before an audience and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm ready to have my sins washed away that I can stand with him, never to deny him again. Then you have the opportunity tonight. If you, by the life that you've lived in your environment, have denied Jesus, have pushed him away, have pushed him into the shadows because your pride has got in the way, because you've been a coward, because you haven't stood up for the cause of Christ, because the world has burned you by its own fire, whatever the case might be, if you've been a Peter, Jesus is going to ask you if you love him. And if you can say with a strong and hearty yes, and maybe even with a tear in your eye, that I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength, he's going to say, none of that else matters. As together we stand and as we sing.